Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to all of you. We welcome all of our listening audience today. We pray that you're going to have and are having a blessed Sabbath day. As we begin this message today, this is a message that says, when the answer is delayed, from Luke chapter 18, verse 1. I would invite you, if it's possible for you to do this, I would invite you to bow your head as we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us with your Spirit as we open your word today. I pray for your blessing for us as we listen to you speak to us, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." I believe that Jesus himself was a man of prayer, don't you? I mean, he spent a lot of time in prayer. Morning and evening, sometimes throughout the whole night. He taught his disciples how to pray, what to pray for. He promised them a blessing as they prayed. I believe that God gives each one of us a blessing as we speak to him in prayer, as we personally come to him and pour out our hearts to him and speak to him like we're speaking to a good friend. I believe that Jesus is able to listen and to be able to help us with any issues that we face. In this parable, I believe that Jesus gives this strong emphasis on persistence. In other words, maybe in your Bible, it might term this little section in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, as the importunate woman or the importunity of prayer. And what this importunity means, as is defined by the Bible, is to persist, to overcome by persistence, and to plead, to urge. And I believe that that's what this woman is doing here in this particular text. In this situation, if you will bear with me here as I read this, you might want to follow along. In Luke 18, verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And I believe that there's other instances in the Bible that Jesus gave us about being persistent in our prayer to him. And you look with me in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46, we see a situation here where a blind man is appealing to God for some help and deliverance from his disability. And you see here in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46, here's the story. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more of a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Being persistent in prayer made it possible for this man to regain his sight from Jesus. He did not give up. He didn't just pray once and then forgot all about it. He actually pled with God for deliverance from his disability. We have another story in Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse number 22, this is a story about a mother who is pleading for her daughter who is possessed with demons. The story goes like this. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise God for that. Jesus not only hears, but he has the ability to answer. Isn't that great? He wants us to be persistent, not giving up, hold on, and keep praying, because we know we have a God that we pray to that has the ability to answer our request. And so I want to encourage you today, friends, no matter what the burden is in your life, no matter what you've been praying about, I want to encourage you not to give up, but to be persistent to God, because he is a God who knows your need. He understands, and he is able to answer. Our Lord knows our tendency. He knows what we're like. He knows that we oftentimes, because we don't get the answer we want as soon as we want it, we have this tendency to get discouraged and just stop praying, to give up. And I believe that God wants us to be persistent. That's what this story is about, is to encourage us to keep praying even when we do not see an answer immediately. That's why I think these illustrations are here, is to encourage us to hang on in prayer, to not give up when we don't see the answer that we want immediately. And I think that God wants us to trust in him completely and fully. I had a church member a number of years ago. Her husband was not a member, and her mother was dying in a hospital, and I went to visit with the family to encourage them and pray with them. And I actually was introduced to her husband, who was there, and in my conversation I found out we had a lot of things in common. I invited him to come to a Revelation seminar that I was teaching at the church. He came. I baptized him. 10 months later, he died of stomach cancer. But praise God, he made the right choice before it was too late. Her daughter was in an accident in a winter a few winters ago, and she got out to check her car because she slid off the road and ran into the guardrail, and a lady hit that black ice while she was out looking at the back of her car and hit her and cut her legs off. And she died a couple months later. But before she died, she gave her heart to Jesus. The whole point of this story is this, is that the mother gave up on God and blamed him because he didn't answer her prayer the way she wanted. She felt that God did not care. He could have stopped it. But she didn't realize that maybe God used this terrible situations that happened in her family to help bring her family to Jesus and give them assurance of eternal life. You see, friends, God uses a lot of different methods. God uses the pain and hurt in our lives to help lead us closer to him and to help lead other people to him. We cannot blame God for the bad that happens. You know, the devil is alive and kicking, right? And he hates every Christian on this earth. And he's doing everything he can to make our life as miserable, as bad as he possibly can. He's doing everything he can to destroy us and our faith in God, to destroy our families. And we cannot allow the devil to get the upper hand in our life. We must trust in Jesus and be persistent in our connection with him. We cannot get discouraged because we don't see prayers answered the way we want. The way life takes twists and turns, we sometimes think that God is not loving, that God doesn't care, that he doesn't see the plight that we are facing. But yet we do have a God who says that when the times are at their very worst, that's when he is the closest to each one of us. We can never forget how much God really loves us. And that's why he uses these illustrations to encourage us, to let us know that even though bad things happen, even though things aren't going the way we expect them to, we still have a God who answers our prayers. He hears what our needs are. He knows what is best for each one of us. And sometimes he doesn't grant our prayer or request exactly the way we want it, when we want it. Sometimes he makes us wait. At times, those petitions that you and I ask for would not be for the best for us or someone else that we're praying for. God sometimes wants us to wait and to exhibit faith and trust in Him. My wife and I, when our children, once we became Christians, we studied with our children and prayed with them every morning and every evening. We went into debt to put our children through Christian education. We did everything we knew how to do to live a godly life and give them a moral example to our children as they were growing up. But yet, two of our children decided to go the opposite direction. And my wife and I blamed ourselves so much. We were so discouraged over that, so depressed that we had put so much of our life into our children, and yet they walked away from God. You know, there's a lot of people in churches of every walk of faith and every denomination on this earth that have gone through the same thing. Their children have made a decision to walk away from God and experience what the world has to offer. And sometimes the parents, like us, we blame ourselves that it is our fault that the children made that decision. And I want to say to everyone who is listening today that if you have done everything you know how to do to follow God and to raise your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and you've been praying for their godliness in their life, and they happen to walk away, the choice is theirs. The scriptures are very clear that the father does not have to answer for the sins of the children, and the sins of the children, the father doesn't have to answer for that. It's on the person who makes the choice. You see, when our children are small and we make choices for them, then we are accountable for them. But once they reach the age of accountability, they're responsible for the decisions that they make. God calls for us as parents to live a godly life and to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But sometimes our children decide to do something different. And I have sometimes been discouraged when this happened to our family that maybe our children are going to be lost. But who knows when our children will turn around? Who knows when something will transpire in their life, some bad situation will happen, and they'll turn back to God for help? I know that to be true because I have seen many people whose parents prayed for them and gave them a godly example all their life, and yet they turned away. And their parents went to their grave not seeing their children converted and come to Jesus. And I have baptized many of them who have come back to Jesus, knowing that what their mother and father taught them was the right way for them. I remember when I baptized Dave, after he came to my Revelation seminar. He told me out in the foyer of the church before he got ready to leave, he says, you know, my father-in-law kept telling me all these things about Jesus, about his love for me. He told me about all this stuff, and yet I cast it away. I didn't want to hear it. I wouldn't listen to what he was saying. But now that Jesus has come into my heart, oh, what a blessing it is for me to know these truths that God has given to me personally. You see, sometimes we take our children to church Sabbath after Sabbath, but it's your church, not theirs. And it is not until they fall in love with Jesus that the church will be their church. And you see, that's when the transition takes place in their life. And that's what we hope and pray for, but sometimes we may not see that answer to the prayer. And we must be persistent in praying that God's answer will come to them. God, I want you to listen to this story. Now, in the life of Hezekiah, he was granted 15 extra years on his life when he prayed to God, and God answered his prayer. Look with me in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 39, we have this story of Hezekiah. And looking in Isaiah chapter 39, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, The day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach him, to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore, lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And so the servants of the king of Hezekiah said to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. You know, I'm reading in one text and you're looking in another. But praise God, it's still the word of God. You're probably thinking, my goodness, your Bible's different than mine. No, I was just in the wrong chapter. Sorry. I told you to look at Isaiah 39, and I was reading Isaiah 37, but it sounded good, didn't it? God did intercede for Hezekiah and his people. He did answer prayers. But let's go to the correct chapter now that I really wanted to bring to you, and that's in Isaiah 39, beginning at verse number 1. Mercy. And at that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters at present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. And then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house and all that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, said the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Amen. He had a lot of treasures there. God has extended his life 15 years. And he showed those people everything he had in his storehouse. The only thing that was missing is God. He failed to give glory to God for the 15 years that God had extended for him. And he failed to give glory to God for all the riches that he had. And how many times do we do the same thing? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, at beginning at verse number 17, it says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as it is to this day. You see, friends, we might think we're self-made people, that we, because of our education, because of our ability, because of our skill, because of the luck of getting a good job, that we have all of these blessings in our life. We have good houses and lots of money and drive good cars. We wear good clothes. Hey, that's a gift from God. And we need to learn how to give good glory to God and return to him a faithful tithe and offering because of all the blessings that he has given to each one of us. God is the one that blesses us not only with the physical things of life, not only with the finances that you and I have, but God blesses us with the spirit of his own self coming into our hearts and enriching our lives spiritually. It is God who blesses us with the wealth of heaven. It is not something that we get of our own. There are times when there are certain barriers in our life that prevent the Lord from granting our request. We need to give praise and honor and glory to God, not only when he answers our prayer, but when he says to us, this is not good for you. This is not what I think is best for you. When God delays the answer, we still need to praise and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's for our own good that God refuses to give what we ask for. Maybe it's not the right time for those things to happen. It'd be nice if we could see the end from the beginning. There's many times that I wish that I had that Thurman on my shoulders so that I could make a request to God and he would just light up and show me what it is that he wants. I wish that he would speak to me like he spoke to Moses. I wish at times when I prayed to him, I could actually hear God's voice verbally speaking in answer to me. But you know, when I read the word of God, I hear the voice of Jesus saying to me what he wants me to know, what he wants me to hear. And that doesn't make me sick or crazy because I hear God speaking to my conscience. That makes me in touch with Him. And I hope that's the same for you, friend. That as you pray to God, as you read His Word, you can hear His Spirit speaking those truths to your heart, to your life, enriching you with His message. And I hope today as you're listening to this message that you hear God speaking to you, that He is talking to you about His love for you. The parables that the Lord points out to us are rich rewards of persistence in prayer. God speaking to us in His Word. God speaking to us as we pray. Listening to God speak to us is important. There's another illustration I'd like to bring to you from the Bible. Another story. And it's found in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse number 5, we have this story of a man, a friend. He was begging to his friend for 3 loaves of bread because he had 3 visitors that were coming to his house and he needed to be able to feed them. He didn't have enough food in his house to do that. And so he went to his friend to ask for help. In Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 5, he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he said from within, shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needed." That's a good story. But as we look back in the story that we originally started with in Luke chapter 18, we see here in Luke chapter 18 the story of this woman being persistent with this judge. And because he didn't have any fear of God and he didn't fear humanity, he was there listening to this woman and he didn't think, "I'm going to give her anything." And yet it says here in verse number 5, "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, unless by her continual coming she weary me." Now listen, this word avenge, this is a legal term for granting justice. This is what God does for us in the judgment. This is how God treats us. He avenges for us. When the Satan of this world makes accusations against us and tells God, "You can't forgive them because they sinned just like I have," we have the blood of Jesus that will cover all of our sins. And He makes a just judgment and avenging us from the grasp of the devil. But Jesus uses a little bit of humor here too. You look in this text here, He says, "Lest by continual coming she weary me." When you look at the Greek word for that, it's like he's saying, literally, she's going to give me a black eye. Because you've heard that before, right? "I'm going to do this, but I'm afraid I might get a black eye from it." In other words, "I'm going to take the burden of that." But the Lord says, "What the unjust says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, the saints of God? Shall not God stand up in our behalf and avenge us against the devil? Shall we not be protected from him as we cry day and night unto him? And though he hears us long," God knows exactly what your needs are and mine are before we ever speak to him. And that fact, that's what Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says, that God knows exactly what our needs are before we ever speak them to him. Praise God for that. He knows what's going on in your life today. He knows what your needs are. He knows the burdens that you carry. He knows what challenges you every day. He knows how the devil's been attacking you and trying to lead you astray from Jesus. He understands that, and he has already made provisions for that. He hears your need. He hears your cry, your plea to him. For us to be persistent in prayer, there are certain ingredients that must take place here. We need to have faith in God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Paul says this, "He that cometh to me must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." In Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28, there's a story there that the faith in God's compassion gave strength to blind Bartimaeus, and it says there that he had mercy on me. He cried out to God. Nobody else could fix his problem but Jesus. And there's nobody that can fix your problem but Jesus. But we need to cry out to him. We need to be persistent. We need to believe by faith that God not only can hear us, but he can fix it. He can tell us how to do it. There also needs to be this seeking help from God. We have to have this real life and death situation. We have to have a burden in our heart to persist before God day and night, crying out to him for his help, for his intercession in our life. Are the motives that we're crying out to God for unselfish? Do they really recognize God as the creator of all things? Do we really plead to God because it's so important that we have to have this situation dealt with? Or is it some trivial matter that really doesn't make much sense why we pray? We have to have an utter helplessness, a total dependence upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have this, and it's a good reason for us to persist in our prayer life, is to be able to have this helplessness, knowing that the only way that this could ever change is if Jesus intercedes in our behalf. We have to know that our petition is in harmony with the will of God. And how many times has people asked me and many other preachers, what is God's will for my life? I don't know. I'm not God. I couldn't begin to tell you that. But I do know this, that as we look at the Word of God, and we prayerfully ask for the Holy Spirit to come to us and teach us his word, God will speak his will to your life and mine. There's only one way we can know it, and that's if we're in contact with the God of heaven. So if you're not spending time in prayer and Bible study, how could you possibly ever know what the will is of God for your life particularly? I could give you a general description of what God's will is like, but God specifically wants to tell you, You. He doesn't want to tell me. He wants to tell you. It won't do any good for me to tell you what God's will is. You need to prayerfully study that for yourself. Show yourself as an obedient servant of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says this, We then will have the Lord on our side. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are you searching the Word of God prayerfully? Asking for God to reveal to you every day what his will is for you? In Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You don't know what God's will is for your life? You'll never know if you never prayerfully study his word. Luke chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, it says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will make a just judgment in your behalf. I know some people who have prayed continually for 25 years. I had a friend tell me that one day, that he had a friend in Romania that he had prayed for 25 years, and he had just received a letter that 3 months earlier, this friend of his was baptized into the church. Praise God. He was persistent. He said, I prayed for this friend of mine every day for 25 years. Persistence, friend. He never gave up. He trusted in the God of heaven. He knew that God could answer and would answer in his own time. But you see, there has to be some cooperation between us and God to make those things happen. For 25 years, he trusted that God could answer. There are instances, I think, when parents pray for years for their children and yet they die without ever seeing their children coming to Jesus. But there is a resurrection, friends. When Jesus will come back and he's going to restore everything that the devil has tore apart and broken up in our lives. He's coming back to fix our family someday. And someday, even though we may go to our grave never seeing our children coming to Jesus, someday in the resurrection, God is going to make it possible for us to see him again. We have to keep praying and trusting that God's Spirit will work upon the hearts of those people we care about the most. My sister-in-law sent me a little note, and maybe you've heard it. She said her mother sent her this. And maybe you've heard this before. I don't know, and I just hope maybe that this might speak to you today. This is a story, and I want to read it to you. A visiting priest was attending a men's breakfast in an Ohio farm country. He asked one of the impressive older farmers in attendance to say the grace that morning, and after all were seated, the older farmer began, Lord, I hate buttermilk. And the priest opened one eye, and he wondered to himself where this was going. And then the farmer loudly proclaimed, "Lord, I hate lard." And now the priest was overly worried. However, without missing a beat, the farmer prayed on, "And Lord, you know I don't care much for raw white flour." And just as the priest was ready to stand and stop everything, the farmer continued, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love fresh biscuits. And so, Lord, when things come up and we don't like what when life gets hard, when we just don't understand what you're saying to us, we just need to relax and wait till you are done mixing, and probably it will be something even better than biscuits." Praise God. So, friends, I want to encourage you today. Never give up. Never stop praying. Before you ever speak your need to Jesus, he already knows the burden of your heart. Draw close to him, and he has promised in his word that he'll draw close to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your blessing for every person listening to your word today. I pray that you would draw close to each one of us, and as we draw close to you in prayer and study and serving you with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul, I pray, Lord, that you will hear the burdens of our heart, and that you would answer them in accordance to your will. And we ask this knowing that Jesus is our Savior and Lord. Because we ask this in his name, we have confidence that you will answer. Amen.